Blog Talk Radio.
To you. Thank you for joining us here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Reverend Ken Burrow. Today we have with us Bo Walker. Good morning, Bo. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I am fine. And yourself?
Fine. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you okay.
A good friend of mine up in North Carolina decided to bless me this past week with a brand new microphone. And I'm actually about 3 feet away from it. It's called a Yeti Blue X. And I just got so excited when he sent that to me. He says, "You're going to sound good, brother." And I said, "Well, thank you." And I just love it when people bless us. There are so many good and godly people out there with a heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be spread. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about your ministry. So what I'm going to do first is say, hey, Bo, tell me about your ministry.
Oh, my. What do I say? I just love people and love Jesus and like to talk about him. I was the pastor of Global Harvest Church, and we were doing pretty good.
Where was that at?
Right here in my house.
Oh, okay.
We started it
in Alabama.
Uh huh.
Okay.
And in 13, We started. We already had a church, but it was affiliated with another organization, and we wanted to be unaffiliated. So we started a new church, and we brought in some new people and started the new board, and we rocked along for a while. We brought in some people to be our associates, and in 2017, I'm sitting in my big chair. I'm just kind of meditating, you know, praying, sleeping, just relaxing, and all of a sudden, the Lord says, give the church to Dan and Rachel. You know, I sit up and I say, what do you mean? It's my church. He said, no, it's my church.
There you go.
And
that's the way he puts things into perspective, doesn't he?
Yeah. It does.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He just tells you what to do. And if you listen. And my wife and I prayed about it. And we called up Dan and Rachel and said, come and pray with us. And we prayed. And they said, yeah, we'll do that. And so we spent the rest of the year in 2017 doing all the legal things, making them the pastors and the senior leaders. And the first Sunday in January of 2018, they took over. So they're getting ready to have their second anniversary. And it is exciting. I mean, my wife and I could not have done all the stuff we needed to do in 2018. Caregiving if we still had the church. But Dan and Rachel are phenomenal. They're wonderful people, and we love them to death. We're still a part of the church. We're still members. I just don't sit in the front all the time. And
I understand.
And it has been wonderful. I did get to preach on the last Sunday in September, you know, shepherd's rod, if you will, my words for the 5780 and 2020. And that was good. I got to preach for an hour.
Hey,
not many churches will let you do that.
Well, in my experience, you know, when you allow the Holy Ghost to run the service, time doesn't matter.
No.
I remember years ago when I had a home church at one time, and, you know, there'd be times we'd go for hours and hours and hours and hours, and nobody would want to leave because the presence of God would fall, and everybody just wanted to stay. And
Well, most of our churches are about 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And
I've been telling people for years, Bo, that, you know, worship is not three songs and a sermon.
No.
It's a lot more than that. God wants our hearts. And he wants
Sunday.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sunday, the Holy Spirit showed up so good, so strong, so wonderful. And our worship pastor was on the floor. You know, her guitar next to her. Janet Bird, who you interviewed, was on the floor. The new lady, who'd never been to church before, stood up and prophesied. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. Everybody prayed. Everybody prophesied. The Holy Spirit was there. I mean, it was so deep, so real, and so rich. Oh, we could have just stayed there all day.
Well, you never know what God's going to do. But if we allow him
to
do it. I'm sorry?
I won't. If we just allow him to do what he wants to do, and it is awesome. But when we mess with it, that's the problem with a revival in America. We always want to mess with it instead of letting the Holy Spirit do what he wants to. We want to mess with it.
Before we came on the air, I was telling you about what happened at the little revival up here in Calvary Hill in Huntsville on Sunday. And I want to share it with our listeners, too, if you don't mind. But,
yeah, go ahead.
There were,
I showed up because I had promised evangelist Eugene Brown, who's also been on this show, that I'd come back. And I got there, and there was one person there, Eugene, and then me. And I got out of my vehicle and walked up to him. I laughed a little bit. I said, well, you never know what God's going to do. And we were sitting there praising and worshiping, just two of us. And then one guy showed up. Then I looked up and I saw this guy walking down the street, and he was kind of limping. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that he had one leg shorter than the other. And my ministry is a healing ministry. I praise God for all the miracles that he does. Jesus is the healer. I just happen to be the prayer. But I walked up to the guy, and I tell you what, he was acting a little crazy, cussing. Oh, my goodness, he was cussing left and right. Every other word was JC or GD this, GD that, and that kind of grieves my spirit because I don't like hearing my Lord's name taken in vain in any way, shape, manner, or form. But God has been teaching me to look at everybody through the eyes of Jesus, and so I was kind and loving, and he ended up walking away, still talking to himself, still cussing up a storm. Well, about 30 minutes later, give or take a few minutes, here he come back, and he walked right up to the tent. And I told him, I said, you got one leg shorter than the other? And he said, yes. And I said, well, sit down. And I had to put his legs out, and it had to be the most dramatic difference I've ever seen. There's a good 6 inches difference between one leg and the other. And I said, can I pray for you? And he said, yes. And I took a little bit of anointing oil, and I put it on his forehead. And then I looked down, and before I had even prayed, God had brought both legs absolutely even. There was no more difference. And I was amazed, absolutely amazed, because for one thing, I didn't even say a prayer. But one of the things I'm learning here of recent is, you know, each and every one of us have the authority in Christ Jesus to pray for healings. All we have to get rid of is our own thinking, because God's going to do what God's going to do. And it doesn't matter how we think or if we think there's a certain method to it, because there is no method to it. It is the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So I stepped back, and Eugene and I was talking on Monday about it. And he said he had never seen nothing like that. And I said, well, guess what? Me either. And then a little bit while later, a woman drove by, and Eugene yelled out at her and said, hey, you need any prayer? And she said, yes, I always need prayer. I'll be back. Well, about 20 minutes later, she come driving back up. She had two passengers in her car. She got out of her car, and I asked her, I said, you're hurting, aren't you? She said, yes, sir. She says, I've been hurting for a long, long time. I said, okay. I said, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain level? She said, a 9. I said, oh. And I said, well, let me pray for you. I put a little oil on her forehead, and I started commanding the pain to leave. And before I could get even 30 seconds into the prayer, she looked at me and said, oh, my God, I can't believe this. This is unbelievable. And I said, what? She said, I've been in pain for 15 years, and all of a sudden, all my pain is gone. I said, glory, hallelujah, Jesus, come on now.
Amen.
I am thoroughly convinced, Bull, that we are in the last days, that Jesus is coming back soon. He said that in the last days, he's pour out his spirit on all flesh, all of us. And I believe that he, and I know there's more people than me and you, there's people all over this country, all over this world, who are walking in the authority that Jesus Christ has given every believer and have decided to believe what the word says. And miracles are happening every day, all day long. And some of them are just mind-boggling. Anyhow, I wanted to share that. And I'm going to go right back to you here in just a second. I also want to take a moment to thank Nicole Willard. Nicole, thank you for that beautiful song that started the show off. I love that girl's voice. She's just such a sweetheart. And I consider her a friend. I also want to thank Reverend Stan Scheel, who has the Healing Light channel on Roku TV. Folks, check that out. It's got programs 24/7. I've learned a lot from watching that TV. In fact, that's how I met him, was watching his TV channel. So I just want to take a moment to thank him. And now I'm done with my plugs. Let's get back to Bo. Hey, Bo, what do you know?
Well, you know, you were talking about those healings. We were in Australia once, and, you know, it was me and a couple of other people, and we had a healing line out in front of us. And this lady comes up, and she's deaf. And, I mean, we started praying for her. You know, my inside of me, I said, we got this. She'll be healed in a couple of minutes. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And finally, I just told her, I said, ma'am, you know, I told the person with her, maybe she just needs to sit down and rest, and we'll try again after a while. And then the next person come up in the line was deaf. I said, Lord, you know I don't have any faith for this. I mean, this first deaf lady, she's sitting on the front row over there waiting on somebody to do something, and this lady's deaf. And I said, you know, okay, but I'm going to pray for her. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I just prayed this little, you know, sweet Jesus prayer over her. And I kind of looked at her and she said, oh, I can hear. And turned around and walked back to the aisle and sat down. I had had nothing to do with me or the people with me. God did it. I mean, just
yes.
Click. And a little
yes.
Chinese lady. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
it was, you know, if it had been me, I'd been doing cartwheels down the center aisle. But
I hear you.
She just turned around and said, oh, I can hear. And walked back to her chair. But that was so phenomenal. I'm going to tell you, we were in a, we were sponsored by the Assembly of God. No, we were sponsored by the Baptist meeting in Assembly of God Church that was also being helped by the Methodist and the Lutherans.
Praise God.
Now, if you can get that crowd together, loving Jesus, worshiping him, loving people, we can have revival.
Yes, sir.
But it takes all of us together. It can't just be one little group. I don't think one little group in a city can pull off what God wants to do. We're all going to have to work together.
I agree, because we are. Well, I have to agree with you, because we are the body of Christ. We're not individuals.
Right.
We are a part of the bride.
Uh-huh.
And my question has always been, when? I know in my heart that
uh-huh.
God is about to pour out his spirit and bring up a revival that will make Azusa Street look like a small church meeting. And I believe
yes.
with all my heart, because it's been prophesied that it's going to come out of North Alabama. And I believe we are just on the verge of it. We're about to step over that threshold. And I mean, in my own personal ministry, I call it show and tell. God
uh-huh.
is going to show up. He's going to show his power. He's going to heal people. And then we get to tell them why. And then we get to lead people to Jesus Christ, which is the greatest miracle of all, is getting someone saved. That's greater than any healing miracle I've ever seen, you know. And we got one saved on Sunday. Yes,
uh-huh.
that woman lost her pain. Yes, that man's leg grew out. But the greatest miracle was when Eugene led that man to Jesus Christ. I rejoice more over that than any of the miracles I have seen in my ministry, because that is an eternal, life-changing miracle.
Amen.
Oop, I almost started
Amen.
Preaching.
That's okay. I got
I get excited over these things.
Uh-huh. I do too. I got to preach in a Lutheran church. My father and mother were both Methodist, you know, before I was conceived. And then when I was three or four, my dad's older brother invited him to go to the Baptist church because his wife had led him to the Baptist because she was a Baptist and he was a Methodist. And so my mom and dad took us off to the Baptist church, and we all got, you know, Baptists, became Baptist. And then, you know, I went to a Southern Baptist college, and I went to a Southern Baptist seminary and ministered in Southern Baptist churches until we met John Wimber. And we got Wimberized.
And who's John
Wimber? I told
Wimber?
My wife. The man who started the Vineyard Movement.
Oh, okay. I'm familiar with that. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. And he started the Vineyard out of Calvary Chapel. And I told my wife, you know, I said, that man is not what I've been looking for. But what he is saying is what I have been longing for. Because he was talking about the fivefold. He was talking about following hard after Jesus. He was talking about what the Lord gave me. The Lord gave me a number of years ago a new way of looking at the fivefold. It's save, heal, deliver, disciple, and send.
Say that again.
Save, heal, deliver, disciple, and send.
Got it. All right.
Save is the evangelist.
Yep.
Heal is the pastor. Deliver is the prophet. Disciple is the teacher. And send is the apostle. The apostle is on the bottom. He is the foundation. He's not on the top.
Wish we could convince a lot of churches of that today.
Yeah.
I've been to too many churches where so-called apostles and prophets are setting up on thrones upon the platform instead of serving, they're being served. And that grieves my spirit when I see that because the true apostles, the true prophets, the true servants of God realize that they must lift up others and they must be at the bottom and not at the top. But in today's world, they kind of twist everything around. And it grieves my heart to see it. I have a good friend of mine.
The whole thing is each one of the fivefold, their whole job is to raise up people under them to do what God has called them to do.
Absolutely correct.
And that's my heart. That's what I want to do.
It's my heart too, brother.
I see myself as an apostolic prophetic teacher.
Uh-huh.
Most of what I do is teach, but I do it from that framework, from the apostle.
Right.
And the Lord gives me on occasion prophetic stuff, and he's always giving me teaching stuff. And well, like this morning, right? Normally, in August or September, the Lord tells me the themes of the next year every month. Now, I don't always know what it means until I get closer to it, but I've written down the themes, and that's the theme of the month. And the Lord has said that the new year is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Everything is Jesus.
And amen.
Starting right now through 2020, well, and I think for the next epoch. Can I say that? Next era. It's all going to be about Jesus. And it's not going to be about us. It's going to be about him. And
let it be.
Where's that piece of paper? Oh, 4:43 this morning, Lord woke me up and gave me this. I wasn't thinking about it. I never got my themes for 2020. And this morning at 4:43 a.m., he gave me the themes for 2020. And I said,
all right.
And January is 101. I said, all right, Jesus, what are we talking about? Face to face with Jesus. 101. And February is 2 for 1. 2 is the number of Jesus. So it's Jesus for me, Jesus for us in February.
Mm-hmm.
And March is marching to Zion. Why are we marching to Zion? To worship Jesus.
Okay.
April is April showers bring May flowers. Are you thirsty? Come to Jesus. Isn't that what he said on the Feast of Tabernacles?
Yes, he did.
As they were pouring out the libation offering, he said, wait a minute. If you're thirsty, come over here. Yes, Lord. And number 5, or May, is May Day. May Day. I don't know what's going to happen in May, but we need to be ready. And he said, help me, Jesus. We need to be praying.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to June is my birthday. And the Lord said, nothing. I said, time out. That's my birthday month, Lord. Nothing? He said, nothing but Jesus.
Okay.
July was Independence Day. Independence from the world to Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
That's going to be an awesome month. And August is new beginnings with Jesus.
All right.
September is cool day. I think it's going to be cold next September. But it's going to be a cool day with Jesus.
Or in today's vernacular, chilling with the Lord. Go ahead.
Amen. And next October is Name the Man. The man's
name
is Jesus. Name
okay.
the man. And the man's name is Jesus.
Now we're getting into my birth month.
November?
December. No, December. I thought you were already up to December.
No, November is moving on.
Okay.
11 is the number of transition, and we're going to move on with Jesus.
All righty.
If you add the 2, you get 2. And in every transition we go through, Jesus is in the middle of it to get us through our transitions.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
And December, on earth as it is in heaven.
Wow.
You can live with that one, right?
Oh, my goodness.
That's Jesus.
There's not a day that goes by when I'm praying for people, especially those who are in pain, that I do not say. I mean, I always say it, actually. There's certain verses I always say when I'm praying, because I like to bring the Word of God in before I pray for people. And
yeah.
I believe the Lord's Prayer is the perfect prayer. And I'm constantly telling people, God's will is on earth as it is in heaven. There is no
yeah.
sickness in heaven. There is no pain in heaven. There is no poverty in heaven. There is no stress in heaven. There is no worry in heaven. And you can go on and on and on and on and on with that. So when you, December being my birth month, and you said that, I just went, what? Wow. That is really cool.
Yes.
I really believe
that 2020 is going to be, well, like Sunday at Global Harvest Church, we had a shift. We've had many shifts, but we had the shift. Sunday, everything changed Sunday, and the Holy Spirit showed up so rich and so big and so wonderful. And I believe that 2020 is going to be a shift for the body. Not just one church or a group of churches, but for the body of Christ. We're going to have a shift. We're going to move into that on earth as it is in heaven. And we're going to start acting like it. We're going to start believing it. We're going to start doing it.
I believe you're right. I mean, I know that one of the goals I have is to get people to understand what time period we're in. Get people to understand. I mean, I've had people, they didn't mean to say what they were saying. They were just thinking it. And again, I want to reiterate, it doesn't matter what we think. God is going to do what God is going to do. But it says in the Bible that those who believe will lay hands on people and they shall recover.
Uh-huh.
He has given each and every member of the body the same authority that he has given to you, me, any other apostle, prophet, or any other servant of God. We all have that same authority given to us by Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit does the work. And when we learn, when we begin to learn as believers that the Holy Spirit's going to do what the Holy Spirit's going to do, all we have to do is believe, have faith, and stand in the authority given to each and every one of us, then the bride of Christ will start getting the wrinkles and the blemishes out. And there will become a unity, because, folks, it's going to have to happen. We as the bride of Christ must unify. We must start following Jesus and the Holy Spirit, not church, not religion, not as I see it today anyhow, because, you know, God sends me to this place and that place and this place. And sometimes, brother, I'll tell you, I'll be sitting in there going, God, why did you send me here? Lord, help me, have mercy. But as I go through it, I'm beginning to realize he's just letting me see what's really going on out there. And my point, though, is when the body gets unified, the blemishes and the wrinkles are removed, and then we are moving as one towards something that's never happened before in the history of mankind, and that is we get to usher in the king. The kingdom is coming. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, I tell people all the time that in the Lord's Prayer, it starts off, God tells us who God is. Jesus tells us who God is. Our Heavenly Father, he gives us his location. He's in heaven. Okay? Then the next thing he says is, thy kingdom come. That's something we all should be praying for. This morning, I was watching the news, and there was a little girl that got abducted here in Alabama, in Birmingham, about 10 days ago. Yeah. And they found her body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all I could say is, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm personally sick and tired of all the evil in this world. To take the life of a 3-year-old is beyond my comprehension. How anyone could do that, you know? And So my prayer this morning is, thy kingdom come, and yesterday would have been fine, Lord. But he's going to come in his own timing.
He's going to come in his own time.
Yeah, but that time is drawing near, and nearer than most people think. And then, of course, he tells us about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which we discussed a minute ago. When we get to the understanding that his will is for us to walk in power and authority, then the bride of Christ is going to change. I know the Holy Spirit is working on millions of people at once. He's amazing. I don't have the answers myself on how to get everybody unified. Oh, believe me, I've thought about it, but I don't. I don't have the answer. I'm sure you've thought about it too. The only thing I know is I tell people all the time, people say, well, Brother Ken, how do you get a ministry started? It's easy. You get up in the morning, you thank God that you woke up. You volunteer to do whatever he puts in front of you for that day. Go through your day doing the things that he asks you to do. Then when you get home at night, thank God for the day, go to bed, and then repeat that process each and every day, because God will grow your ministry as long as you obey him on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
It really is. I mean,
if you love God and love people, do what God, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. Do that. I mean, this is not rocket science.
No, it's not.
It's just, no, just follow Jesus.
Do
what he's doing every day and keep trucking. My wife and I call ourselves the missionaries to Walmart.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on that. I got it. I've seen a lot of miracles at Walmart.
Seen a lot of people change, a lot of miracles in Walmart, a lot of just praying for people, loving on people. When we go to Walmart, we just old white folks. And the black checkers and the black people who work there, they'll come up and hug our necks because we've loved on them, we've treated them, we've spoken to them, we've prayed for them. And it ain't we special. We just love God and love people. And they love us back. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I have. God has given me it's like a word of knowledge, except it's physical. I can actually feel people's pain.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I can be walking through Walmart and all of a sudden my hip is hurting really, really bad. And I look and there's somebody in one of them chairs, them little Walmart Go scooters. And I walk up to him and say, you got pain right here, don't you? And they'll look at me and go, how you know that? And next thing you know, you pray for them and they get healed and they rejoice. So, it's just following the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It don't happen every time I go to Walmart.
Pardon? Yeah. And you may never see them again.
Most of the time, I never see those people again. This is true.
But they were touched
they got to see
by
Jesus.
The Holy Spirit.
Amen, brother. I absolutely agree with that, because when we follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I'll be honest with you, there are times God will say, go pray for that person over there in Walmart. And I'm human. I get a little afraid at times, like, God, you really want to just go over there and start talking to that stranger, you know, and I might walk by him once or twice or three times. One time I remember about five times walking by before I finally obeyed. But, you know, fear is false evidence appearing real. Every person I have ever prayed for in Walmart was receptive and happy that I took the time to do it. Nobody has given me grief. Because when the Holy Spirit prompts you to do it, he's already made the way. He's already smoothed the path for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I mean, it's wow. Thank you, Lord. He is. If we will just do what he shows us to do and say what he says through us, we're going to change this world. It is going to be his place. And we're going to start getting rid of our spots and wrinkles. And
yes, sir.
I don't think he's coming until we are without wrinkle and spots and all that stuff. Because he's not going to come for an ugly old bride. He's going to come for a beautiful bride.
Beautiful, and pristine bride.
Yeah. And I don't know of any groom who has cleaned the bride before the wedding. But he's given us everybody and everything we need to get clean for his appearing. We just need to do it. And lots of us don't want to get clean. And there's lots of us that don't know how to get clean. So that's why we're here. Just to go out there and love people, change them into the likeness of Jesus. Being Santa Claus, looking like Santa Claus, I have two colors. One is red and one is green. You ever notice that in Christmas? Everything is red and green. All right. Red is the blood of Jesus that makes me white as snow. And green is the life of Christ that keeps me so.
Okay.
We got to get saved. But we're told we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to look like Jesus, act like Jesus. And that his life in us will keep us.
And we all need to learn to look at others through the eyes of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Easier said than done.
But, yes, it is.
But I have been learning over the last 6 months or so that when you do look at others, it's like that man I talked about with the short leg. I had to look at him through the eyes of Jesus, not through my own eyes. Because my own eyes and my own thoughts were, this man's a heathen. Cussing and cursing. And what would God want to do with him? Now, that's my, I'm being honest. That would be my thinking.
No, no. Yeah.
But Jesus saw him as someone who needed to be healed. Someone who needed a touch from Jesus. Now, I don't know what happened the next day with that man, but I would kind of think that if he woke up the next morning and his legs were no longer deformed, that he'd start thinking a little bit about what Jesus did.
Yes.
And it could easily be a changing moment in his life that I may never know about.
Right. But you planted
and that
the seed.
Well, Jesus healed him. I never even said, God, heal him. I never said, Lord, make this leg grow out. I didn't say a thing. All I did was put holy oil on the man's forehead. Bam. It was so fast, no one saw it happen, but we all saw the aftermath.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe with all my heart in these last days, as he's pouring out his spirit, that those kind of miracles are going to happen more and more and more and more. You know, I get a little upset when I hear preachers say, well, the reason God didn't heal you today, brother, is because you didn't have enough faith. That irks me. Where in the Bible does Jesus ever say you got to have enough faith to be healed? Now there is.
He did work for your faith. You know, your faith did it. But on most occasions, all the faith was in Jesus. I mean, he
exactly.
The faith. Everything.
Somebody was trying to call me while I'm on my radio show. I'm going to have to talk to that woman. Anyhow.
Oh, my.
Actually, there's a good friend of mine, Isabella Jones, who lives in Germany. And she has an awesome gift of healing. You talk about the dumminous power of God. It's definitely with her. But she likes to call me, but she probably forgot I had a radio show this morning.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Do you do it every Wednesday morning?
The radio show, almost every Wednesday morning. There's a friend of mine who's in Mississippi, I believe. Apostle Randy Headings. We try to do a show with him in the afternoon, but I don't think the devil wants him on the air. We finally did get him on the air, but we had so many technical difficulties. And he's the only one I've had really bad technical difficulties with. But we're going to give him a shot here in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, I try to do it every Wednesday morning. I'm actually considering adding another show maybe on Tuesday mornings. Just because, well, we pay for this service. And God has provided donations to keep us going for the next couple of months. Thank you, Jesus. And a new microphone. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to do our best to make this thing grow. Because I believe that the more we bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ, the more that we talk about the things we're talking about, like the time period we're in, what God is about to do, when we start discussing these things, I believe it gives those who do believe in Jesus Christ hope that they do, that they may come to the understanding that they can do everything that Christ did. And those who don't know Jesus, if they happen to listen in, will go, wow, maybe there is something to this Jesus thing. Know what I'm saying?
Yes. Just keep talking, and somebody's going to hear.
Yeah.
And this goes. And they're going to talk, and it's going to change somebody else.
And that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, you know, I have several friends who are apostles and several friends who are prophets from all around the country. And we have been talking together, and I start telling them what I have on my heart. And what is amazing to me, none of them know each other, but they all are saying the same thing. They're all on the same page. But God, only God could do that. You know, so it is an exciting time to be alive. I tell people all the time, yes, the world is going to hell in a handbasket while everybody sits home and watches television. But the point of the matter is we're in the most exciting time of history that we could ever be in. We're going to see the returning of the King. That is amazing to me.
Well, I have written stuff down, you know, for the new year. And I did it back in September. And all of a sudden, everybody is saying the same thing. Everybody. And that's quite all right, because it's just God.
And well, I was saying these. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. It's just that God is talking to all of us the same way.
And, yes.
And
saying the same
things. And because he doesn't want a mixed message. Can I say that?
Yeah. Yes, you can.
He's telling us all the same things so that we can all say the same thing. And it boils down to on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm saying, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, because we know in heaven it's all the same thing. It's all the love of God. It's all, well, it's heaven.
It's
Everybody's
heaven.
In agreement with God in heaven. You can't help but love God. I used to think, back before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I've grieved day and night, you know. The angels and the cherubs would be before the, you know, just worshiping before God, going, how holy, 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 holy is God. And I thought, man, that's kind of weird that they would do that. I mean, don't they have time for themselves to do anything? But once I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I come to an understanding, hey, I would love to have that job, that all I do is sit at the throne of God and say, holy, 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 holy for eternity. That would be the greatest place in all creation to be.
Yeah, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was in my office in a Baptist church. And by the end of the year, I was out of my office in that Baptist church.
I have a friend of mine, I believe is a guy I knew many years ago. He's what I call Bapticostal. And he was ready to leave the church. And he said he was praying about it. And God said, you know, every time I get one of you Baptists baptizing the Holy Spirit, you always want to leave. He said, I need you to stay to show others. Yeah. I thought that was so funny.
is funny is that it's not funny really, but the Baptist Foreign Mission Board decided that their foreign missionaries could be filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. Because after so many years and years and years of being on the mission field and not seeing anything really happening, and, you know, the new guy who's a charismatic comes and down the street, and all of a sudden, you know, 1,000 people, and he's got 17 churches, and everybody's saved, healed, and delivered. And so they decided, well, hey, you know, maybe our missionaries need the Holy Spirit. And so they've given all of the missionaries permission to get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues.
Well, that's nice of them.
Yeah, and it's filtering back into their churches. And there's more Bapticostals out there than you would ever know. But, you know, Baptist churches are starting to move like that. And that excites me. I love it.
That's exciting to me, too. I know God has shown me over the years that he's got his people in every denomination. He's got Holy Spirit-filled operating in the gifts of God in every denomination.
Yeah.
I've been to a Lutheran church.
I have a Lutheran friend who is a pastor of his church, and he believes in the Holy Spirit, does the work of an evangelist. I mean,
I went to a Lutheran church many years ago, and if I had not seen the sign outside on the building, I would have not known I was in a Lutheran church. I would have thought for sure I was in a Pentecostal church, because they were operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it was an awesome and amazing time. It was in Manahawkin, New Jersey. And there was a woman there who had a vision, and she saw all these churches. But none of the churches had a sign saying what church it was. And she would step into each church, and they all were doing the same thing. And that is coming to pass before our very eyes.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it's going to happen is because I tell people all the time, God is not about religion or church. God is about an intimate personal relationship with him. And the more of us who get into an intimate personal relationship with him and seek to obey everything he tells us to do, the body of Christ will unify, because there are no denominations in heaven. Oh, wait, we're right back to on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
So if there are no denominations in heaven, there shouldn't be any denominations here. I'm not putting down denominations. I mean, look, God for the Baptist.
The kingdom is coming. But the kingdom is also here.
Yes.
The kingdom is here, but it's also coming. It's a both and thing. We can walk in kingdom right now on earth, and one day we're going to live totally in the kingdom. But wherever the king is, the kingdom is. The last
Amen.
Time I looked, the king lives in me.
Amen. You took the mouth right out of my words. I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, everywhere I go, the kingdom is.
We are running out of time, my friend. I want to thank you so very much for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. I do believe we need to have you come back again here in the near future, if you don't mind. I really enjoyed our conversation.
I have too. This has been fun.
It's been fun, man. That's one thing I like about this is it's always fun. When we get a chance to talk about Jesus Christ, our King, that to me is fun. You know, when I go out and I'm praying for people and I see instant healings, it not only amazes me, but it's fun. It's fun to see what God does. It's amazingly fun.
It fills you with hope and joy.
That it does.
And that's how we should walk.
That it does. Well, once again, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I want to thank Stan Shell once again. Stan put this channel on the air, and I'm just very thankful that, because I was thinking about doing something like this, and then all of a sudden Stan goes, hey, would you host this show? And I went, yeah, thank you, Lord. So I didn't have to do all the hard work. He already did it for me. And so I want to thank him once again. I want to thank Nicole Willard for starting our show off with that song. I love that girl's voice. I just love her. And I want to thank Janet Bird for introducing you to us. Appreciate you, Janet. So we're going to close the show now with one of my favorite songs. And once again, join us next week. Next week, I believe we have Dr. Fuller with us. And it's going to be a great time. Bo, God bless you, my friend. Be blessed and be a blessing.
Jesus' name, spirit of fear, you have no place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. You're not welcome.